Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
X marks the spot.
You made a difference. Not just to me, but to the world.
Now that sounds pretty sweet to me.
Well, that hit the spot. Sweet!
I'm Jim Burke. Well, have you ever done something that you just knew that you were made to do it? Well, maybe it's singing in a choir, perhaps it's preparing or serving meals for the needy, writing a poem, teaching a class, or even raising your kids. Well, my guest today on Homeward says that when we discover the unique place where God intends for us to live our lives, then we've discovered our sweet spot. Author, speaker, and pastor, Max Licato is back with us once again here today on Homeward to tell us how we can not only discover our sweet spot, but why living in it will keep our lives from seeming anything but ordinary. Well, finding the cure for the common life is our theme with Max Licato next on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. APU offers a Bachelor of Science in Organizational Leadership, and that transforms you as a working professional into an agent of change in the workplace. This is an accelerated degree completion program that's offered online as well as on campus at APU School of Adult and Professional Studies. And if you'd like more information on that online application, you can go to school anywhere in the U.S. and get a degree from Azusa Pacific. Visit our online resource center at homeward.com. You can also find a link there to apu.edu, which will give you all the information that you need. And now to the task at hand, we'll be talking with a graduate of Abilene Christian University. Max Licato is with us in studio once again for part two of his conversation with Dr. Jim Burns. Now here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is day two of Living in Your Sweet Spot with Max Licato, best-selling author, gold medallion winner extraordinaire, serves as the pulpit minister of Oak Hills Church in San Antonio, Texas, actually one of America's great writers, in my opinion, and has influenced my life greatly. Max, it's just so good to have you sitting here.
Thank you. It's my privilege.
You may not remember this, but the first time that we met, we were at a dinner with Word Publishing. And it was perhaps one of your first books, and it was one of my first books, Drug Proof Your Kids. It would have been somewhere around 1988, and we happened to be sitting at the same table. And I went, this is a nice man. And then the more we talked, you had, you know, little tiny children. As time's gone on, you've got three daughters, and I have three daughters. Right. What's it like having all women in your household?
I'm outnumbered. But you know what? I have great kids, and it's so much fun. My wife is phenomenal. And it's been the highlight of our lives, these three daughters.
Well, we're talking today about sweet spot, and it's neat because your daughters are part of that sweet spot in your life in many ways. There was a time when you were a missionary in Brazil, and obviously that would have been a part of a sweet spot, but today you're now writing and influencing the world in many ways. When you were in Brazil, how did that affect what you're doing today?
That's a great question. We went down, these kind of starry-eyed missionaries, all of us in our mid-20s. Mm-hmm. We were convinced that, you know, we were going to change the whole country. I think we did sow some good seed. But what Brazil taught me was the core of the gospel, Jim, because I think there were strands of legalism in my teaching, and I didn't know it until I got there. And when you're a missionary, you have to really know what is the message you're offering that would convince people to turn away from their spiritism or their voodoo religion that their whole family embraces and take a risky move and attend this small church led by these four or five gringos, young gringos who barely speak Portuguese. Right. And well, church was not growing for the first year or two. And we took some time to really think through what the gospel was. I remember we studied the book of Galatians as a mission team and realized, you know, I don't think we're really teaching grace. And that was a light switch in my head. And we began to understand grace, proclaim grace, proclaimed the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Church began to grow and took on healthier form. And I was there for 5 years. Some of those guys I went down with are still there in Brazil and have done a great work.
But and in many ways, when I think of your early writings and even now, grace permeates that. Huge, massive. And so what you're saying is we learned something years and years ago and it becomes a part of our message,
really
life
does.
Message.
It really does.
We're talking today about the sweet spot. And in the program right before this, we were talking about that there is a cure for the common life, that you can find your sweet spot. And the fact of the matter is that it takes a lot of work to do that. But it takes a lot of focus, but it's very much worth it. Same time, there is a danger in finding our sweet spot, or at least trying to find our sweet spot, you say anyway, because you say, you know, you can't consult greed. And sometimes we're motivated more by greed than by God.
Exactly. And how many people have been promoted right out of their sweet spot because greed gave them that opportunity?
Right.
You know, how many great salesmen whose strength is working with people now spend their days sitting behind a desk in a management role because we assume the next step is to move up. And sometimes it is. But many times, you have to deliberately say, you know what? I am doing the most what I do the best right here, right now. And I'm not going to take that promotion. And it may mean not taking a pay raise.
Right.
But I would suggest that you really pay a price for taking a pay raise if you get promoted out of your sweet spot.
Because it's not necessarily about money and sweet spot, is it?
No, it's about knowing what you were made to do and doing it every day of your life, every day of your life, not occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
But if your sweet spot is managing an orchard and making sure the fruit is picked at just the right time, and you draw great satisfaction in taking fruit that's ready for market and sending it to market, I think you're doing as much for the kingdom of God as a great evangelist who fills coliseums with people because you're doing what you were made to do and you're bringing efficiency to the world and even bringing joy to people's lives.
And when you talk about the kingdom of God, one of the areas of the book, Cure for the Common Life, that I loved was you called it making a big deal out of God. How does that help us have right priorities?
Okay, that's great. I'm so glad you asked that question. You know, Adolf Hitler knew his sweet spot. You know, Osama bin Laden knows his sweet spot. There are people who discover their sweet spot who really make a mess out of the world rather than improve the world. I think discovering who you are is essential, but that's just the first step. Knowing why God made you who you are is just as important. So I summarize the book with this sentence: use your uniqueness to make a big deal out of God, and do that every day of your life. Making a big deal out of God is the reason we're put on earth. The reason that we have breath, the reason we have a pulse, is to make a big deal out of God, to bring glory to Him, to get people to turn to Him, to turn people's attention to Him. And when you do that by the way you drive a taxi or by the way you repair a heart valve, when you do something for God's glory, using your gifts for God's glory, then you are right there in your sweet spot.
Is it always taking a risk?
It can be taking a risk. The story that I use here in the book is the parable of the talents. And Jesus tells a story about these servants who were entrusted with talents, one with five, one with two, one with one. And the first two were willing to put those risks, take those talents and invest them, step out on the edge of the precipice, step out on the limb, and see if they could bring benefit to God's kingdom. The only one who was criticized was the one who took his talent and he buried it. Said, I'm not going to use this to benefit my master. And he really received the wrath of the master. So really, I think that being a child of God frees us to take risks because we know it's safe. We're already saved eternally. We know we're going to heaven. We're not saved by what we do anyway. So more than anybody, we are free to take a few risks in God's
name. Interesting enough, when you're thinking about vocation, I was thinking about a risk that you just mentioned. The risk may be not taking the raise and staying in a job that you love.
Precisely.
So that perhaps you even have more time to work in the church or be with your family.
Precisely.
And that's risky because all of a sudden now you're not going to be climbing up the corporate ladder and everybody thinks that's the way we should go.
Exactly.
That's risky.
We were talking before the broadcast about a mutual friend of ours who's in youth ministry.
Right.
And he's in our church. He does a phenomenal job. And we've two or three times talked to him about, would you like to move into a different role? He's 45 years old. You know, most youth ministers are a little younger than that. He says, oh, don't make me leave what I love to do the most. And we don't. you know, he is content. He's found his place.
Yeah. And that means his marriage is going to be better.
Exactly.
His children will be better. His ministry will be more effective.
And he's going to be happier.
Absolutely. And he's going to be in that sweet spot doing good things for God. He is doing good things for God. Well, what's a good way for us as parents to model that principle for our children?
Yeah, I think first of all, we don't consult greed ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't make decisions based on... Now, remember, Jesus said there are many types of greed. Greed not just for money, but greed for promotion, greed for attention, greed for applause. And so we don't consult that when we make our decisions. And we model for them a spirit of contentment. Mm-hmm. If all I had is what I have, would that be enough? We say, okay, yeah, if we get to the point where we can model that spirit of contentment for them. And then number three, we teach them how to find their sweet spot. Right. We help them understand their S-T-O-R-Y.
Right.
We observe what gets them excited. I have a great nephew. He is a great nephew. He's literally a great nephew.
A great, great nephew.
A great, great nephew. And he's the son of a great basketball player. Uh-huh. And Lawson loves basketball. But boy, you give him an hour to do what he wants to, he goes where there's musical instruments. He'll pick up a guitar, play the piano, and his parents have picked up on this, and they're encouraging that part of his life. Well, good for them. That's how you help the kids do the most what they do the best.
Fabulous. We're going to take a break. When we come right back, I want to hear about this 80-year-old Italian guy who actually put himself up for adoption. That's an incredible story. We're talking with Max Licato. We're talking about living in your sweet spot, and we've got more. Don't go away. I'm Jim Burns.
Today on Homeward, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns in part two of his conversation with Max Licato, and they're talking about finding the cure for the common life. Max has written many books, and you've read most of them, because he's a very, very popular author. I know Jim recommends his books highly. The book Cure for the Common Life is the book that we are recommending today, and if you'd like to learn more about it, just go online to homeward.com. When you look in the program archives, you'll see Max's name is blue and has an underline there. If you click there, you'll find a link right to Max's website. You can learn more about all of his books. And remember that Homeward is here to support you as a parent. Our daily online devotional is a great way to get a nugget of encouragement, of Bible verse, and just all put together in a nice little compact feature by Dr. Jim Burns and the staff at Homeward. About tens of thousands of people receive these each and every weekday. And if you find yourself a little too busy for a quote-unquote Bible study every day, these daily devotionals are a great way to get your day off on the right foot. You can start your free subscription today, as a matter of fact, for our online e-votional when you go to homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
I don't know, Mom. I'm afraid Rachel's going to be just like I was in high school.
Oh, you weren't so bad.
Mom, don't you remember how much trouble I got into? I mean, I think you and Dad wound up grounding me for most of my junior year.
Well, just because we grounded you didn't mean we thought you were a bad kid.
You didn't?
Of course not, Leanne. True, you made some interesting choices when you were younger, but your father and I always knew that deep down, God had great things in store for you.
Sure, it would be great if there was some sort of magical formula a parent could use that was guaranteed to transform a rebellious child into a spiritual titan. However, the reality is just such a potion doesn't exist. At our website, you'll find a number of free materials designed to help you pass along a spiritual legacy to your children. One is the tip sheet called Why Your Faith Matters to Your Kids. You can download a free copy when you log on to homeward.com.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking with Max Licato. We're talking about living in your sweet spot. What a joy to just have conversation. I feel like we're in the living room, Max, just sort of, you know, talking about this, but really an important issue. And I love your book, as I mentioned it. It's interesting, as all of your books and there's been notoriety, some of the people who know you well else, when we talk, they say, you know what, Max really hasn't changed. And yet, you know, I see you on Larry King Live and you just do a bang up job there. But in reality, your life has changed dramatically from, you know, kind of being in a small church to being a large church to really being in the news media. How does that affect your life?
The challenge is time, managing time well.
Yeah.
I don't think I've made always the best decisions in that. I went through a phase, it's been over a decade now, that I did a lot of traveling, and I thought I was supposed to say yes to just about every speaking invitation.
Right.
And my children at that time were, I think, ages 5'3" and 1" yeah. or younger, and it caused my wife Deanland to go into a depression, yeah. and it took us about a year to get out of that. And, yeah. and that's the big goof I've yeah. made yeah. in this whole thing. Yeah. She's done great.
Sure.
I mean, and we've moved on. But I learned that I couldn't travel mm-hmm. as much, and so I pretty much stayed at home for a decade.
Yeah, and it's really part of what we're talking about here mm-hmm. is not only do we have our own sweet spot, but we have kind of a family sweet
right.
spot, and we have to live within that. That's an important
concept. Dynamic you have to
yeah,
recognize.
It really is. Uh-huh. Now, one of the things that I smiled about in your book was a great story that you talked about in terms of a sweet spot for serving the Lord. And you write about the sweetest spot in the universe. Where is it? And then you tell a story about this 80-year-old Italian guy. You got to tell us the story.
It's a great story where this guy put himself up for adoption. He was, I guess, lonely enough right. that he thought, you know, maybe somebody will take me in. And so when his announcement went into the Italian paper there in Rome, not only ran the ad in the classified section, but they put it on the front page of the paper. And interest came from all over the world. Everybody wanted to adopt this guy.
Yeah.
He just felt so lonely, and everybody felt sorry for him.
Yeah.
And I tried to use that to talk about how God is willing to do the same for us.
Yeah.
You know, knowing your sweet spot is nothing if you don't have a relationship with your Maker.
Yeah.
Letting Him, first of all, bring forgiveness and salvation to our lives,
yeah.
bring purpose to us. And so it's really essential that is the key element in this cure for the common life mm-hmm. is being reconnected with the God who made us.
Yeah, and in many ways, it's trust. I love a sentence that you have in your book. It makes no sense to seek your God-given strength until you trust in His.
Exactly, exactly. And He will help us. He will help us. Now, one of the questions that I'm asked a lot of times in this type of conversation is, what's the difference between a natural strength and a spiritual strength? Can I touch on that
Absolutely.
For just a second?
Absolutely, please do.
Because as somebody does what we urge them to do in this book, when they give their life to God, mm-hmm. I think what happens there is that God requisitions many of our natural strengths, and He turns them into spiritual gifts. A natural strength is an ability that you have that God gives you upon birth. A spiritual strength or spiritual gift is a spiritual strength that God gives you upon spiritual rebirth that exists to expand God's kingdom. For example, you might have a natural gift of teaching, like the Apostle Paul had. And then when he gave his life to Christ, obviously God requisitioned that and turned it into a spiritual strength. Many times that strength is requisitioned and used again. Many times it seems that God gives us additional spiritual gifts that we didn't even have before we became
right.
a follower of His.
Right.
And so when we're converted, two wonderful things happen. First, our soul is saved eternally. Nobody can ever take that away from
right.
us. But then number two, a spiritual gift from heaven designated yeah. just for us is implanted
right.
within us.
Right.
And we get to use that for the expansion
yeah.
of God's kingdom.
I'm glad you brought that up because I think a lot of us would not understand that. And I'm excited today that the church is talking both about what you're talking about here in terms of God-given gifts actually at birth sometimes, but also spiritual gifts. I think the church is starting to talk about spiritual gifts and realize that, you know, just because somebody can preach doesn't mean that they may have the highest gift. We've got a woman in our church who has the gift of hospitality.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And she's wonderful at it.
Exactly. We can be content to let people work in the strength of their gifts. We're not urging, if we've spent much time in churches, we've heard preachers get up and say, if you really want to be a follower of God, you got to be, and he fills in the blank, you know, a missionary, you've got to go out and feed
right.
the poor, you've got to go out. And the truth is, many of us hear messages like that and we feel guilty.
Right.
Because we say, you know what, I just don't have the ability for that.
Right.
It doesn't push my buttons.
Kids, you know, long to become self-reliant. And yet, at the same time, as parents, we've got to teach them the value of what you call applauding God loud and often.
Yeah.
How do you help kids do that?
Well, what we do is we try to help kids understand that the purpose of their life is to reflect God, first of all. That we're here to be to God what the moon is to the sun, to reflect. Because there's nothing in us that's worthy of promotion. Now, I know that's counterculture message because everybody thinks we exist to promote ourselves.
Right.
But if we can help people understand that, if we can resign from that role of promoting self, then we discover this beauty of applauding God,
right,
of worshiping Him,
right,
thinking about Him, meditating on Him.
Yeah.
We understand why David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the mm-hmm. Lord than anything
right.
else. Yeah, that's a great gift we can give
yep.
our kids.
I love that illustration. I love the illustration years ago when one of your daughters was very little and you came off the airplane and your daughter was applauding you. And it makes it a beautiful illustration yes. of that's what we should be doing with
exactly.
God.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that.
And I think we can model that for our kids.
Yes.
I'm a little concerned now in many of our church services we're shipping the kids off to one part of the building
yep.
and parents to the other. I realize that may need to be for some of the worship service.
Right.
But something happens there.
Yeah.
When you've got mom and dad or at least one of the parents and kids is somewhere in the same vicinity, and those youngsters are watching dad
right.
sing to Jesus, mom
right.
worship Jesus, something happens there
yeah.
that's caught.
You're absolutely right. I want you to talk about how community plays a huge role. I felt like in reading your book, you were saying community plays a huge role in helping us find a sweet spot. And you have a great story of a couple of good friends who are an example of really, truly the brotherhood that can result from this kind of a connection. It's a great
yeah.
story.
Gary Clark and Steve Barbin.
Uh-huh.
These are two guys who were fast friends for their entire lives. And they just grew up playing basketball together, football together. They're in each other's weddings. They encouraged each other. And as their lives developed, a couple of bizarre circumstances surfaced that led them to realize that they were more than friends, but they were actually biological brothers. They had been put up for adoption by their parents. One of them didn't even know that he had been adopted. And then they found out that they were biological brothers, and that friendship began to make sense.
Right.
And as time went on, they came to discover they were part of a relatively large group of kids that had been put up for adoption. And a great story, and I thought it was a great story in the book, how they came to understand
yeah.
each other. But there was this instant connection. And I think that connection happens in the family of God, because we are all part of His family. And Scripture teaches that we really find our place in the family of God. We find our function as a human being in the family of God. It's really important, if we're going to discover our sweet spot, to be a part of God's family of friends.
Right.
You know, I never walk into a barber shop and ask if I can have all the leftover hair on the ground.
Right.
I never walk in and ask the manicurist if I can have those clipped toenails. Who wants those?
Right.
They've been cut off from the body.
Sure.
We want things that are a part of the body.
Right.
When we separate ourselves from the body of Christ, whatever spiritual gift we have can't be used.
Right.
And our natural talents are just used for ourselves.
Right.
But when we are connected to the body of Christ, there's some supernatural, mystical action or energy that takes place. It really puts those gifts to work.
And we need the body to help us find our sweet spot.
Absolutely.
Parents and children need to not only have their family, but they need to have the community of the church. And that's one of the main reasons why we have the church. 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Be content with who you are and don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you. He'll promote you at the right time." That's from the Message, and that really is the message of what we've been talking about. Max Licato, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for working in your sweet spot,
yeah,
Jim.
Well, it is a privilege to have you with us.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Max Licato here on the Homeward Broadcast. We've been talking about finding the cure for the common life, and as we as adults can model this kind of behavior for our kids are watching us, and they want to see us operating in our sweet spots, as Max and Jim were just talking about. If you missed any part of today's program, remember we always archive the audio at homeward.com. You can stream with us there. You can hit the link to our podcast and sign up to start receiving our program via iTunes. Don't miss a minute of the programs that you hear here on the Homeward Broadcast. The podcast and the audio streams, by the way, are free. And Jim, we make these available because we want people to know about living in their sweet spot. Max Licato has some great words for us today and on the past program about this very issue.
Actually, I love this topic because all of us want to know why we're here in the first place. And this concept of finding the sweet spot in our lives really connects with me, and it connects with me in terms of trying to help my kids find this sweet spot as well. You know, when I was younger, I played a lot of baseball. I had three older brothers, and we were sort of a baseball family. And back then, you know, I lived for the sweet spot. Now, I didn't always find the sweet spot like my brothers did, but, you know, you hit the ball just in the right place, and that ball would kind of explode off the bat. And boy, it would just not sting, it would just explode and feel so good. Well, I think that's the same concept we're talking about today. We don't have to be an athlete to appreciate it either, really, because sweet spot living involves finding out what God has built us to do and then start doing it.
And finding our sweet spot is without a doubt, I think, the cure for the common life. And who wants to live a common life?
No one does, especially kids who are graduating from high school or young adults who are graduating from college this spring. And Jim, as we conclude today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, have to mention something about a resource that you are a part of every year. Congratulations. It's C-O-N and then G-R-A-D, Ulations. It's the number one grad gift of the decade for kids. Over 1,200,000 copies of this have been given by about 25,000 churches nationwide. Your church has probably used it as a gift for high school and college graduates. Jim's devotional book, Addicted to God, is just a small part. I mean, there's a lot of material in here, music and videos, multimedia, and more. If you'd like more information on how to order copies of Congratulations 2012 for the kids in your youth group or your college group who will be graduating this year, visit us online at homeward.com or send an email to Becca at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.